Hey guys, welcome to the Roundtable. This is episode 108, and I am back from my missions trip. I did not get lost. I did not depart from the group. I am here. No bear got me. I'm alive.
Because that was the worry?
Yeah.
Did you really worry about that?
No, but everybody else did. But anyways, this is Mike Hill. He is our lead pastor, and sitting in between us is Riley Sullivan.
Yay! Woo! So seriously, tell me your best moment from the mission trip.
The best moment? Well, I would say that was the waterfall.
Like swimming in the waterfall?
Yeah, so like you had to go on these really, really bumpy roads.
Okay.
And then you had to walk down this like really steep path. So, I mean, it was insane. We were all slipping. Mm-hmm. And then you just found this like magical, mysterious, like I don't know how somebody would have found this thing.
Oh, because it's like out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like a spring fed and it's like 59 degrees or something. Mm. Yeah, it was
And
cold.
You jumped in?
No. I just took my feet in.
Ooh, that'd be
But the
freezing.
Kids did. The kids
did they?
Did. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking Faye said it was freezing.
Yeah, did she go in?
I don't know.
She did. But maybe it was
she,
really
maybe she
cold.
Just heard it from somebody else.
Probably. I don't know. I think she did because all the kids did.
Yeah.
But Joel was in there.
Yeah.
So the night before we had an orientation and the guy, Nathan, he was like, so I like to take my people to the waterfall because they can lower my shower bill after the whole day of work. So he goes and he literally, I look over and he's in there with a bar of soap.
Who? Joel?
Yeah. And I have a picture of it. He's in there just like scrubbing himself with this bar of soap and it was just the best thing.
He did
ever.
Not say that yesterday.
Huh?
He did not say that yesterday.
He didn't say that yesterday.
Yeah, no. He probably didn't want to, but I have it and I
what
have it documented.
What about Mark Heupel? Surely he was in there,
Who?
Wasn't he? Mark Heupel.
Yeah, I don't think he went fully in.
Huh.
But he had his feet in.
Got it.
Yeah, none of the adults were really that brave. It was cold.
All right, Riley, tell us about you. What are you doing that's super exciting right now? Something you love. Are you a movie watcher? Are you a TV watcher? Are you a homesteader?
A little bit. I like movies.
What kind of movies? No. What's your genre? Marvel?
Really anything that's good. I'm not really into horror movies, but if it's a good movie, I like it.
Okay, what's one that's good?
Super Mario Bros. That was recently.
Was it really?
Really?
It, Super Mario Bros.
It was good in its own way.
In its own way. That sounds like it's terrible then.
So, well, growing up as a kid, I mean, I played Super Mario Bros. And I understand it. It kind of was a little different, but the way they did it was still, it was decent. For what it was going to be, what I thought it would be, it turned out to be really good, actually.
So, they said it was really high in the office. Like
really?
The first weekend.
I think they
it was
like the second highest movie.
I think they were playing off of that. These kids that grew up playing Mario.
The millennials. Like,
we're gonna go watch Super Mario Bros.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
That was the best. I used to play that.
Did you go see the movie?
No.
Oh.
Didn't look very good. No.
What else?
Are you
binge watching anything? Do you binge watch anything?
I do. We had just finished Manifest.
Manifest, that's the one where somebody else has actually said that on here. It's the one where they are in a plane and then it like goes somewhere and then it comes back after like how many years? 10 or something?
Like
maybe more.
I can't remember how many,
like,
but it was so many years and it reappears and it kind of plays into the end of the world. God side of things with their own little twist, obviously. But it was very interesting, especially towards the end, where people were...
Give it away. Just give it away.
No, I know. Yeah, just tell me.
The people that were chosen to do the acts that they were called to do were saved, but the ones that disobeyed or went on their own path were in the plane of judgment because they're going back and it was determining whether or not the world would be saved due to their acts.
The Catholic thing, like, you know what I mean? Like, you get a second chance type of thing like that. So the people in the plane were bad and then they got a second chance?
Not necessarily bad, but chosen.
Okay.
Chosen.
To be pretty much chosen to do these acts, and if these aren't done, then the end of the world would happen.
Meaning when they got back, like after the 10 years, like now they get a choice to do things or what?
They had these like what so-called visions to do these things, and it led them to sometimes save people or whatever it may be. And when they didn't complete those, what they called callings, like it'd be like happened more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And to the point where it would, you know, kind of make them crazy almost, like if they didn't do it. And so, but then there was people that would choose not to follow it or choose their own path. Hmm. And
would the vision stop like immediately?
No, they would still happen. But doing it that way, it pretty much in the plane, the ones that were bad or sin pretty much, blew up into ash.
Whoa, that's a plot twist.
So
the plane did?
If you want to come back on the plane? If you want to know what Life Church thinks about sin, watch Manifest.
Yeah.
This is what happens to the bat. If you sin,
you get blown up.
You get blown into ash.
Yep.
I don't know what else. Sorry about you. That's somewhere in 4th John chapter 2.
10th something. John, you mean?
Hmm?
10th John?
No, 4th John.
Oh.
You know this.
I was trying to make a joke. Wait, is there not a 4th John?
No.
Oh.
No, first, second, third.
John. Got you. Okay. Yeah,
fourth is just an add-on.
Okay, my bad.
Either way.
Well, that's why I said 10th. I wanted to, like, exaggerate.
No, it's
so
perfect.
So people understood.
They got it.
I don't know if they did.
No, I mean, they got it now.
Oh, they do now. Yeah, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, they got it now. Yeah, good.
Manifest.
Okay, so tell us what else is going on in your life. Tell us a little bit about you.
Right now, I have 5 kids.
Wow.
Adopted 3. 2 fosters right now. So that's been keeping me busy, keeping us
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, just a little bit. Did you get the recent one? Because you used to have 3 and then the 4th one, but then the 5th one came suddenly? Or what's the story with that one?
So the 5th one we had gotten when we got back from our getaway, when me and my wife got away due to another placement. And with that, we had to just step away for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we had known about this baby. We were looking to adopt them, adopt him when he was born, but the mother decided not to go through with it, which was, you know, it was her choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had went on the vacation, and we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we get a call at 5:30 in the morning saying that the baby has been removed, and are you able to take him?
Wow.
Because we knew the person. We had already met the baby when he was born. And so, like, yeah, I mean, we will. We've got a 10-hour drive, but we'll be there.
And was this at the end of the vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were heading back that morning. We were planning on doing a couple of things and, you know, taking our time back up.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, we just packed up and hit the road as soon as we could and drove all the way up to Valpo.
Wow. So you went past home.
Yes.
Goodness. But this is what you wanted. Like, this is kind of like a puzzle piece that's putting back together, kind of, from the previous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now it's just kind of the way it is in the system, you know, going through it all. We're, you know, we're hoping that the mom makes the right decision during the history and stuff. We think that, you know, it could be best. I mean, she doesn't have her other kids. And so, you know, we want what's best for the child always. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you know, we think that it's probably best for him not to go back.
Isn't that the difference? The system doesn't want what's best for the child, but the people do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's for the parents.
Broken.
More.
Yeah. They want what's best for the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. This case has kind of shown that a little bit. But I think more recently, the way they've been acting, not so much. So I think they're just kind of feeling it out. The most recent court date, nothing really happened. So we're hoping next court date, you know, some more information can come out and they can make more of a decision.
Hmm. That's frustrating. So. You should call it PPS. Parent Protective Services. Like, why is it even Child Protective Services? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, just...
What got you guys into it? I'm sure you've told this story before, but why adoption? Mm-hmm. Why... is there going to be a stopping point where would you have 15 of them?
Well, our house can have that many. we could have, we have space for 8.
Wow.
We got like a hotel or what?
I know.
No, just the way our house, some of the rooms are big enough because by DCS standards, it's 50 square foot. Per child.
Right.
Wow.
And so we have a couple of bedrooms that are, you know, one can hold 3 and one can hold 5. And, you know, our goal was to get a large sibling group to keep them together. We found out that we can't do that because we can't have more than 6 kids in the home.
Hmm.
So when we got a call for a placement of 4, it would put us... One or two over the limit, which I had no idea existed. And they're like, we won't be able to do that.
Hmm.
I'm like, so what's going to happen? We'll probably have to split them up.
That's so sad.
Like, what? Isn't that the whole purpose, not to?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And now they ended up splitting up that sibling group, which... It's just more frustrating because
right.
Like we're here, we're available,
right?
But just because they don't want to do a couple extra steps to get the judge's approval,
right?
So
it's ridiculous. That's what we heard last week with and how much it damaged her. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
it's living proof right then.
Right. Yeah. So again, you'll have a limit just based upon your house.
Yeah.
Not your sanity.
Maybe both. Maybe a little bit.
But now we just wanted to, since we've been together, we've always just wanted to help kids, mm-hmm. Who are in situations because growing up and I was in a pretty broken home. I was never put into the system, but I mean, I'm sure if DCS was ever involved, I would have been, and so that plays a factor in it too. So. Okay.
Of why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
How much does, and again, you don't have to share the specifics of this, how much of doing it that way puts a stress on your marriage?
Mm.
And I'm not, again, not specifically, but just saying, what are, because I'm guessing that, so we already know there's a problem. There's not enough parents.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's not enough people doing it.
Yeah.
And I think some of the fears are, what kind of stress is it going to put on our marriage? What kind of stress is it going to put on our family? So without, you know, going into details, is it harder? Is it easier? I mean.
It can be stressful, depending on the child, too. You know, for us, we wanted younger kids. Just because of the age, we didn't want to be that close in age with a teenager.
Yeah.
We didn't think that would be very good.
Right.
For a relationship right now. And we also wanted to look into adoption. So with that going into it, we got the 3 that we adopted during that time, it was, I definitely say there was stress.
Yeah, so can you, maybe with that, maybe this is a better question. What are some things that you guys have done to help offset that stress? Like, what are some tools? What are some things? What are some resources?
So, having a community. Okay. The biggest thing.
Okay.
You know, through Hands of Hope, we did those groups through Hands of Hope. So, like, Taylor group was our community. Mm-hmm. And just having that support system is very helpful. Mm-hmm. And making sure you spend time with each other. Mm-hmm. So setting a time where, you know, someone's watching your kids and just get to go out, have those date nights. And that goes for any parent, really. Mm-hmm. But during foster care, it's definitely needs
what to happen. What adds another level of stress.
Yeah. You know. Because you're dealing with visits. If they have visits, therapy, if they're in therapy. So you get appointments all over the place, CFTMs, meetings. It's just, you got your the case manager coming out to the house. Wow. And so it just adds up really quickly. So,
right.
But communication is the key. Yeah. And I think during the time when we were fostering the current three, I definitely noticed, looking back now, that I could have been better.
Mm.
And I think, too, it can be, you know, I wanted to be a father, but the way we did it, I will say that now I wasn't really that much of a father then,
because
I don't know if it just was a fact that, you know, we're fostering them and they came into our home. I loved them, but it wasn't
right
like a connection that you have when, you know, a baby's born or something.
Right.
And so it caused a lot of stress. But now we're doing a lot better with that. We've worked things out to where we're communicating better, scheduling things better, where when we need to, like, I take the kids to go to a doctor's appointment, especially now with my job, I get off at 2, which makes a lot of things easier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that would be difficult. That would be hard. Yeah. So take us back when you talk about growing up in a broken home. So talk a little bit about your life, because again, the story of your life to where you are today, you know, so did you grow up in the church? Did you grow up with a family that encouraged those things? Like, tell us a little bit about your story.
So I did not grow up in a church at all. My dad was very resentful. He grew up with his parents in the Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, wow.
And when he turned 18, he just left. Mm. He kind of formed that relationship back up with them, but he had nothing to do with it.
Back up with his parents, or back up with the Jehovah Witness. When you say form that relationship back up, which relationship?
Just the parental relationship. Oh. Just the relationship back with his mom and dad.
Oh, got it.
A bit.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, we never went. The first things that I can remember that I was exposed to was Jehovah's Witness, going to the Kingdom Hall with my grandparents, because we had spent the night, and if it fell on one of the nights that they had to go to the Kingdom Hall for their service, we'd had to go too.
Okay. So
what is the Kingdom Hall?
Jehovah's Witness Church.
Oh, that's what they call it? The Kingdom Hall?
Are there any windows?
Not in the part with the services, or
is that
whatever
a thing?
You call it.
Is that like normal? Why?
I mean, again, so you talk like there's these things that people talk about, you know, when it comes to Jehovah's Witness.
That's
and when
one.
They build them, this is what I've heard, like when they build them, like build them really fast, and there's no windows in the places where they do the service.
Yeah, I don't believe there is.
Weird. Why? Uh-huh. Why? Is there a reason? Or is it just know. They want to get look it up fast? And see. Oh, I will there's Google a reason. It. I will Google it. Oh, yeah. You know the reason?
There's a reason.
Is just it look for it up spirits escaping or what? Like, what is it? What's the reason? Well,
no, and again, so Riley, what's the difference? So Life Church, Jehovah Witness Church. How much different is it?
Extremely different. Tell you specifics, I probably couldn't because it's been
no,
forever.
No, I meant
since.
Like just the service right. itself. Is it like
I mean,
like, do they have a choir? Do they have a preacher? Like,
there's no choir. There's everyone sings the hymns, the old songs
without any music,
a cappella.
I think they have a piano.
Oh,
at least the ones I went to.
Wow. Okay,
and then anyone would do the service, so they would have one person. For that week, go up and preach. So
wow.
I know my grandpa's done it.
Did he draw out of a hat?
I don't know how it works.
I'm asking.
I know.
Like, how do you know?
Sign
like,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just know that there was different ones that would do the service.
Wow.
So did your grandparents ever go around knocking on doors?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they would. They might have been in my house.
Maybe.
Are they from Huntington?
No.
Oh. Aww.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just really different. They're yeah, I don't really.
Yeah, no. I again, no. The bigger point was just like if there was a definite distinction. Mm-hmm. Between.
Yeah, there is definitely. If you went to one. I mean, it would, you'd be sitting there wanting to speak out, like, what's wow. going on? Like, yeah. What is this?
You felt yeah. that even as a kid?
I mean, really? I would sit there 10 years old or whatever, and they'd be talking about this stuff. I had really had no idea what they were talking about, other than that. They would contradict themselves with, and they said one thing, and then they would say another, and it's like, well, that just contradicted what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah. So your grandparents tried to get you involved in the Jehovah's Witness, but at home, faith was not a part of it.
No, and I don't know. Did they try to get me in the Jehovah's Witness?
Well,
I just
mean,
had to go with
get
them.
You in. I just meant just like they, you. That's where you went.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you went to the Jehovah's Witness with your grandparents. But mom and dad, that wasn't a part of it.
No. Yeah. And with that, it was a lot of fighting in my parents' house. You know, me and my brother grew up at my grandpa's a lot because you know, for a while he lived next, pretty much next door to us. My mom would walk us down to his house when things got bad. Mm.
Bad, like your dad was violent, or dad just
both parents.
Wow.
Both parents.
Both parents. Yeah.
Wow.
It'd be one or the other, and then they both get into it, and me and my brother like hid under his bed before, and you know we did what we could to get away from it when
right.
there was
like
going,
any
time
kid.
Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. When there's fighting going
on, and. And then, there, you know, we had good moments.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, like.
Right.
But, you know, I remember going downstairs to get my dad for dinner, and it'd be really smoky and everything. And I, you know, I didn't know what it was. And I'd go tell my mom, like, dad's downstairs smoking. And she'd just get mad. And. You know, like now, like when I got in high school, you know, once I figured out what it was, I was like,
Oh, you mean he's smoking reefer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, I
no,
didn't catch
no.
on.
Yeah.
I didn't catch on. I thought he was just out there smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
No, he was,
oh, got it.
And so it was just constant until they got divorced.
Okay. So then when you're in high school, so get out of high school, go to college. I mean, what is your path? I have no idea.
All right,
like, I so. Probably should, but because you probably told me and I forgot.
So, in high school, through school, I was always quiet. you know, I was picked on a lot in elementary school, and just because I'm hard of hearing, and it caused me to have a speech impediment, and, you know, kids at that time really made fun of other kids for those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's gotten a lot better these days, I think, compared to what it was like when I was a kid.
You think it's people don't get bullied as much?
I would say in that aspect,
hmm.
not really bullying. Yeah, very still happening, very yeah. much so. But for the aspect of like making fun of people for certain things like that,
like carrying and stuff. That's sad. You're experiencing that at school and then going home. You know, it's like not safe places anywhere.
Yeah, and so middle school kind of. You know, it wasn't really anything. You know, I just kind of stuck to what I needed to do, had my friend group, and that was it.
Mm.
High school, same thing for a while. And then at a certain point, my dad lived all over the place. He went from different homes. He had remarried, and then he got divorced again, and ended up in a pretty rough area after he got out of jail. And you know, I'd, you know, go over there to see him because, you know, to me, he was still my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was always my dad. My brother didn't be that way. Once he left, he didn't call my dad. He didn't talk to him anymore. Mm-hmm. So going forward, I hung out there a lot with him, and...
Because you grew up with your mom?
Yeah. I grew up with mom. So I'd go over to my dad's a lot when I could. And at a certain point in high school, I started to smoke. He's the one that got mm-hmm. me, you know.
So we'd smoke like, together?
Yeah. Yeah. Like he was the first one.
Seems to be the weirdest thing ever. But.
I know. It is.
Hey, you want to come over and smoke some reefer with me tonight?
It happens so much so, but it is so yeah. weird.
And also, at that time, I was drinking, too.
Mm.
He would let me drink with him. I was 10 years old, and I'd had full cans of beer.
Wow.
He'd just give it to me. And so, you know, I did that when I was with him a lot. And then out of high school... I went to college, but I didn't really go to college.
Where'd you go?
Southwestern Michigan College.
Mm. Okay.
Because
that's where you're from?
No. Oh. It was close.
Oh, got it.
I lived in Mishawaka area.
Yeah, right.
So I was, like, really close to the border. Mm. And it was, like, kind of like an Ivy Tech school.
Yeah.
And I went... Didn't really get to, I didn't really do any school. Just kind of hung out with people and, you know, made poor choices, hung out with the wrong crowd. And then after the first semester, I had to tell my mom, like, hey, I got to come home.
Yeah, like I got a zero in every class.
Yeah, because I was going to get kicked out if I didn't move out. So so I went back home, stayed with my mom. Didn't really do much at the time. Just
didn't do much like you didn't work?
I didn't really work. Every now and again, I worked for my grandpa. And I did that a lot throughout my... my life. I worked at his shop a lot.
Hmm.
What kind of shop?
And he called it Osceola Salvage. It was a doors, trim, windows, lights.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Pretty much he'd buy stuff in auctions and resell it at a lower price than what you would buy in store. His dad did that. He took over, and then my uncle took over.
Okay.
But I would do that every now and again. But then I would hang out with friends and smoke and do other things. Nick.
We were just checking to make sure Nick wasn't
dying. He sounded like he was dying.
The first cough was one, and then the second when he started to be like.
Well, he's trying not to cough very loud. That's what he was doing, right?
Yeah. So either way, so things aren't going down a productive path.
No, it was going down a very poor path. It eventually led me to make worse decisions.
What was your wake-up call?
After I moved down here with my with Bree,
okay,
things were struggling because we broke up throughout several times since
because you met Bree together. During that period.
Yeah, so I met her in 11th grade, maybe.
When? In high school.
Yeah, in high school.
Okay.
And we were just kind of, I was young and dumb and I made poor choices and
yeah.
I'd break up and then we'd get back together. And then I know she said on the podcast that I broke up with her on Christmas.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What a man. What
yeah,
a man.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
Yeah. And that was, for one, at the time I did it because I was going to go hang out with some friends and do smoke and do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And part of me also, she had no idea about any of that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't want her to know. Because I didn't want her to be.
You never smoked around her?
No.
Wow.
I never did anything like that around her. I didn't want her mixed up in it.
Sneaky guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But after I moved down here.
And when was that? And why did you move down here?
Both chasing her.
Seven, huh?
Chasing her, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much. I guess it's been about 7 years, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I had moved down here to Fort Wayne. Things were getting a little rocky. We were engaged. And I'm like, okay, I will, I'll move down there. And she's like, I don't know if it's going to be, quick enough. I don't know. I'm like, I'll make it happen. We started looking for an apartment. We found one. I'm like, okay, need to get a job. Right. Well, she had her friend know someone in Menards saying that they were hiring for outside yard. I'm like, okay, so I got myself an interview. We got the place. Once I found out, I got the job. And by that weekend, I was moving down to Fort Wayne.
Okay.
That was
happened like all within a week.
Wow.
So at this time, is she a believer? I'm just trying to figure out,
she was a believer, but she wasn't really going to church at the time.
Okay, so it wasn't really a part of your relationship.
No. Okay. And when I moved down, I started working at Menards. I was hoping at that time I can get my life back together. Get away from everything that I knew and start fresh. Mm-hmm. Well, I ended up meeting some people at Menards that did things too. And
can't run away from yourself.
And so I started getting back into those things again. And towards the end of when I was working at Menards, pretty much drained our bank accounts because it wasn't just marijuana. I was doing other things, cocaine. I was really addicted to that. Mm. And so.
And is the cocaine something that you had before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like the past 2 years before, like the 2 year window, I was extremely addicted. I started a little bit and then it just got worse. And she had no idea during the time Wow. None of this.
That is crazy.
And when I had to come clean, I had to tell her what happened, like, what, you know, we don't have money in the bank account. That was a very hard time for her and a very low point in my life.
Right.
You know, at that point, I'm like, well, this is it. You know, she's going to leave me. You know, I hit rock bottom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, my mom talked to her and was able to convince her to stay with me, give me a second chance. Well, not just a second chance, you know, whatever chance that was.
But,
right. Right.
A second chance, because my mom had gone through the same thing before she had me. She was addicted as well. And so she agreed, and we set ground rules. And even during that time, it was still a struggle. I'd recently getting a surgery done on stuff going on with my head, and the doctor prescribed opioids. And so, you know, trying to get cut off of other things. And then I got the opioids, and then that was causing issues because I was trying to get clean. And after that, it was, I started drinking more often, beer mainly. And we got out of the apartment and moved into our first house after we got married. No, we got married after we got our house. And I started drinking more as a replacement. And that caused an issue as well, because then I started to binge drink. And I had very bad depression. There was times where I would go, and there was one time I sat on the tracks in my car waiting for a train to come by. And, you know, I didn't really have a reason to be depressed. I mean, I had a house and had my wife. You know, things were going good. We have, you know, our dogs. Like, there was nothing, you know, nothing wrong with my life. And so she pulled me out of that too. And that's when we started kind of going to church. Was when we moved into our house and we went to Avalon.
Right.
And that, you know, for me, that was a little, you know, I mean, I had some experience because I went to youth group a lot going, you know, in high school, but I wasn't really in the church.
Right.
And so it was a bit, you know, like I was cautious because I wasn't really sure, you know. I didn't have that faith. I didn't have that relationship. And so when I went there, it was different than anything I've ever been to. It's a lot like this church.
Right.
They have small groups. They have, you know, the pastor is very real with you, and you know, it opened my eyes up a lot more, and started really enjoying it, doing our small group, and you know, getting rid of those bad habits and turning it around. And then we moved down to Huntington and found Life Church.
How did you find Life Church?
Google.
Google. There you go, Nick. Google wins.
So when we had moved down, once we got settled, we were kind of looking around, and I believe we went to Faith Community over off of 24. And that wasn't really our style. Wasn't really our thing. And so that next Sunday, we're like, okay, where do we want to, you know, look at next? And I was looking on Google, churches in Huntington, and found Life, and talked about, you know, small groups like we're used to, and I don't know, it's just, it felt welcoming.
Right.
And so we, you know, then that Sunday we came, and I'm glad we never left.
You know what's funny is, and I don't mean this bad, but like you're sitting here telling your story like, oh, you know, I'm a cocaine addict and smoke pot, and then all of a sudden I'm like completely turned around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it's hard to see, but I mean, there is this huge, I mean, we're not talking about like, oh yeah, I mean, it, you know, I kind of came from broken home and just got back into church and things are good. I mean, you went from addictions, addictions,
right,
you know, and now you're clean, now you're married, now you're in church, got baptized, you're fostering kids. You're, I mean, that's such a, like, I don't know if there's enough of a, I mean, I hear you tell the story, but I don't know if there's enough of an emphasis on, like, that's pretty amazing, because I think that transformation is not easy.
No,
and it still struggles. I still, even recently, and I still struggle with, you know, depression. So I work on that, and my self-esteem, and I have a really bad social anxiety. So this, you know, this, you know, definitely out of my comfort zone, but I'm
doing a podcast.
Knowing that other people are going to be watching, just that social anxiety of just, you know, people listening to me, and like going to a park, like I'm trying to get better at it. I'm doing better at it, but if the park is really busy, like I don't want to go,
I don't
want to get out of the car.
Like, I saw you at the dairy farm in Fort Wayne. You want to talk about a crowd of people? Judas, you had all your kids at the canoe. That's what it's called. What is it when you do the? It's been a couple years ago, right? Like you go up to the right? You had all the kids there with you.
I had the three.
Either way.
Dairy farm.
Yeah, so there's this like dairy farm that you go and do tours. Like
fall time?
Yeah, what is?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Either way, I saw him there and I'm like, do I talk about a lot of people? That's a tremendous amount of people.
If we're thinking about the same thing, that is a lot of people.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I don't have to talk to those. There's a more of a chance that I won't talk to anyone.
Oh, that's what it is. So it's not like being with a bunch of people. It's just like the thought of having to talk to someone.
Yeah. So like a park, you know,
somebody's
going
to come
chance.
Up and talk
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
If somebody comes walking your way, are you going to walk the other way?
No. I mean, I would just, you know,
going to have the conversation.
Look away or not make eye contact, not make that, you know, like connection, like, oh, hey, you want to talk? Okay.
Yeah. I think you're like, I don't know before, but I mean, you were the one that reached out to be on the podcast. That's a big step, especially for being nervous about it.
Yeah, I did Taylor and Erica's, and that was really rough, just being there. But then after being in it for, you know, 20 or so minutes, you know,
kind of like here, it just kind of all gets easy. And
and it was like, I'm like, okay, like this isn't too bad.
Got it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to push myself past those limits.
Yeah. Good for you.
Like this past weekend, I did a father-son camp at Camp Luther Haven.
Wow.
So, and I was really nervous about doing that.
And you had to spend the night?
Yeah, we spent the two nights.
Whoa.
And there was other dads and other kids, and one of the biggest thing was I had to share a cabin. I didn't want to share a cabin.
Dude, I'm not sharing a cabin.
That's like way out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, but when you got there, they're like, okay, you're in cabin 13. I'm like, okay, like, you
know, who's with me?
I get in there, no one else is there, and pretty much everyone has their own cabin or own space.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, even though there was beds that could have, you know, multiple families in it, I don't know if there was enough or a certain amount of families that were allowed that we were able to have
our own
cabin.
So you were worried about it and you got your own cabin.
I got my own cabin.
Yeah, so you're pushing past some of those things. Yeah, yeah, good for you.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, trying to make those steps in the right direction.
Good. All right, Jenny, questions? We're already at 45 minutes.
Holy crap. Yep, I do have questions on here once I pull them up. Just a second.
I just love it that you talk while you're doing it.
Well, I feel awkward not.
That's what I'm saying. Do you not like dead silence?
No.
Okay, just be silent for a second.
No, I mean, I don't feel like people would like that. You know what? And I hate when I have to sign back in because that's just extra time that I have to. Just be silent
for a second.
I knew it couldn't last. I can't do it. I knew it. I know that's like when you
see, you wouldn't be one of those people on a date that would just not talk. You would never stop talking.
Right. Like when I go and I'm like looking at the menu and I'm trying to talk at the same time. So like I never know what I want because
you're talking all the time.
Yeah. And I'm like, I need a minute.
You're not one of those weird dates.
What? That doesn't talk?
Yeah. Like you're sitting there and you're like throw the conversation ball and you just sit there and hold it. You never bring it back.
No. Oh, no.
Okay.
I talk for both of us sometimes. It's kind of annoying. All right, here we go. We have a good amount of questions, too. Okay. Dang, yes, we do. All right, so just keep in mind, I am the messenger. Yes, I'm the messenger, so don't get mad at me. All right, Bree Sullivan.
No.
We're just going to start out with this one. She wants to know, is the mower fixed yet? Just kidding. Was that something you were supposed to do?
No,
inside joke?
It's been something I need done because we need a mower lawn. And
just put the cows out there.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well,
forget mowing.
Our electric fence is down right now. And we're also going to be getting rid of them, too. So we're taking a step away from that.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked with Don and got a 5-year plan of what we want to do.
Good.
So
it's exciting.
Wow.
Okay. No, the mower's not fixed, Bree.
So, sorry, I couldn't resist. She wants to know, what is your favorite worship song right now? And thank you always for loving me and our kids. We love you bunches. So what is your favorite worship song right now?
I couldn't tell you. I'm bad with names of songs.
Can you try to sing it?
You want to know a song I can't get out of my head?
Right now?
Been a good old boys. Never meaning no harm. Been in trouble with the law since the day they
were. This is not a worship song.
Do you know what song it's from?
No. Is it Yellowstone? Huh?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Have you been watching Dukes of Hazzard?
Faith wanted to watch a movie, so we watched Dukes of Hazzard.
Has she never seen it?
No, she'd seen it.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, did not know
that.
Want
another one stuck in my head?
Okay, just do it.
Another in the Fire. The one that's like...
Oh, yeah, that's sing a good it. One. There is Another in a Fire?
Yeah,
I don't know all the words. That's
all
I know.
Just sing what you know.
That's all I know.
Another in a fire. Standing next to me, there's another in the water.
See,
holding back the sea.
Oh, I was gonna say holding on to me.
Oh, maybe it is.
I don't know. I think. Oh, really?
Is it holding
on to me? Holding
on to me.
Was.
This is why they won't let me on the worship team. I mean, for multiple other reasons.
I could be wrong too, though.
But now thinking about it, start right here.
Okay.
Start right here.
I can't think who it is. Okay.
Casting crowns, maybe? I don't know either. Casting? Not good at that.
Yeah. But yeah, that would probably be one of mine.
Okay, good.
Did she know the answer already? Like, that's why she asked?
I don't think she knew.
No.
Oh, okay. No. She really wanted to know. All right, Jesse Haft, what advice can you give to other fathers on how to support your spouse during the fostering process?
Well, he kind of went through that
earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you said take time, communicate, date. Surround yourself with the community, mm-hmm. You know, make sure you have all of those things in place.
And gave a lot of good ones.
Yeah, definitely be careful how you say things, even though sometimes when you say something, and you don't think you said it in a way that might have been like harsh. Yeah, but, you know, your spouse takes it that way.
Mm.
You know, it's taking a moment.
Or she's just a woman.
Yeah.
That'll go over well.
It will.
But, you know, taking a step back and looking at what you said and maybe how you said it. And
that's important.
I've done that a lot lately. And it's like, yeah, those things, I didn't maybe mean to, but I've just been in a mood. Mm-hmm. And I said something and it came off the wrong way.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, Sarah Jeffers, how did you decide to be a foster / adoptive parent? And that's another one that you answered mm-hmm. too. All right, Gina Van Meter. Riley, no questions. She just wants to let you know that I think you're awesome and you are shining the light of God.
Yeah.
That was cute.
She always gives encouragement.
Yes, she is. All right, Adam Shoemaker. Riley, what's the greatest lesson? No, wait, hold on. What's the greatest life lesson Jesus has taught you? That's a deep question.
Adam, that one would for sure come from Adam.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah, that is.
That you're never really lost. Even when you hit rock bottom. Because yeah, when I hit rock bottom, I thought it was over.
Hmm.
You know, what I thought was I would never amount to anything. I'm not, to be where I'm at now, I would never have guessed where I live, what I'm doing,
any of that. Wow, that's cool.
And so just to hold on.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good. And like, you know, God guide you.
Yeah, that's an awesome one.
How did you say that? That you're never lost?
Yeah, you're never lost.
That's cool.
No matter how far away you are, he's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't see it then, but you can see it after. Mm-hmm. All right. Kaylin Griffith, what is your favorite part of the day? Oh, that's a weird, cool question. So what is your favorite part of the day? And I also want to say to you and Bree are a power couple.
Yay.
Aw.
My favorite part of the day, probably getting home from work.
That's a good time of day.
When I'm finding time to, you know, teach my kids something, fishing, or when I was doing stuff on the ATV, having, you know, my son there, and even though I wanted to get it done, like letting him kind of participate in it and letting him learn, even though once after a little bit taking away and then actually completing the task and then showing him how to.
That's so awesome.
Just teaching in those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
All right, Dan Smelser. With all of those kids at home, why do you still feel like helping with junior high school kids? Wow, that's a good question, too.
That is a good question. You know, high school, middle school was such a big impact in my life. I had done a program in my middle school and surrounding area called Five Star Life. And it was a Christian-based organization that went into schools. And like once a week, after school hours, we'd get together and they didn't really talk about much about God or anything in the school. They taught us, you know, how to respect, courage, you know, core values. And then outside of that, we went to, they had day camps. And in the summer, they had like a 3-day camp. And that's when they, you know, and they let parents know, like, you know, faith-based organization. And, you know, that's kind of a little bit of an opening for me there that got me into like youth group and stuff. But I didn't really get into it then. But it just made a really big impact.
Yeah.
Having those mentors guide me through middle school, that I want to also do that.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome.
That is.
Good.
All right, Peggy Eads. Loved. Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. She just loved the thing.
Oh.
Like, she loved what I sent.
Yeah.
Your bio. Man, I always get confused on those. It's weird when you aren't texting like an iPhone, how it like literally says loved and then it says everything that you just sent. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what that was. That
from my wife. I have an Android. She has an iPhone.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, Android is awesome.
No, I mean the different relationship. I don't know if we can date it if you're an Android. I got to have those blue. No.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. That's it. Yep.
Okay. So Jenny, give us the final send off for the
I will. So the questions that I just asked were from our our weekly text that we send out at letting you know who's going to be on the podcast. And we want you, if you are not on it, to text podcast to 260-408-8383. That gets you into the group and you'll receive them each week. And we want you to ask questions, even if you don't know the person or I don't know, just ask a random question. Like that, what is your day? Like, favorite part of the day? That was a great question.
Yeah.
No. Anybody no, can think of them. So yeah, text us and make sure you text your name in it too.
Yeah. Yeah, so Riley, great to have you on. Again, incredible story, you know, your life and that you're willing to share. Yeah. I mean, I think that's important for people to see those things, be able to learn from those things, and cool to see somebody who's been there and then they're going to go back. Like the whole middle school thing to me is like, hey, I had a broken home, so I want to create a stable home. Hey, I had a great middle school experience, I want to create a great... I mean, that's a disconnect, I think, for lots of people, right, is that... Not wait for something, but create something. Mm-hmm. So I think as a man, that means a lot, that you go out and you choose to create something. You don't wait for something. You say, I'm going to do something about it, you know, because this is what I needed. And so I'm going to create that for people that need it too. Yeah. So you have a lot to be proud of. And if you see Riley out there, make sure you talk to him, get to know him, you know, again, encourage their family as they're going through this. Because again, we more families with the... Hands of Hope, you know, getting more families involved to help support and be a part of what's going on. It's a great opportunity for people to reach out and to be a part of that also. So when Jenny puts this out, make sure that you like, share, comment. We'd love for you to be able to pass it on, get Riley's story out to other people. Because again, we firmly believe that there are people out there that need to hear it, people that can learn from it, and people that can take steps from that are working through some of the same things. Yeah. So make sure you do that. Again, we thank everybody for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing with us. And again, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.